Thanks for downloading this edition of The Why Factor from the BBC, a programme that seeks to find out why we do the things we do. I hope you enjoy it. Would you like to see something very strange? Something forged in the stars? Something that has shaped our planet? A mysterious thing without which life would not exist? Take a glass and drop in a couple of ice cubes. Then fill it up with water. Now look at that. It's weird, it's unlikely, almost miraculous. In the natural world, things get more dense as they cool. Gas rises above the liquid form and solids sink below it. But look at that. The ice is floating. On the programme this week, one of the strangest molecules in the universe. There is, I think, one chemical formula that most people in the world know. Just the one.
And you think it's H2O?
I do. It's everywhere, isn't it?
Yes. H2O, water, is absolutely ubiquitous. We're 70% made up of it, so you couldn't escape it.
Tom Welton is Professor of Sustainable Chemistry at London's Imperial College.
The strangest thing about water is the last thing that you would possibly imagine being strange about it, which is it's a liquid at room temperature. It's positively shocking. If we were to predict the boiling point of water just on the basis of its molecular weight, it would be far, far lower than it actually is. And so we can think of hydrogen sulfide. It's almost precisely twice the weight of water, and it's a gas at room temperature. But water is a liquid, and that is quite the strangest thing about it.
Water is so common that it's almost become invisible. There's water in my drink here in a cafe on the south bank of the River Thames in London, a big rolling river that millions of people see each day, see and largely ignore. There are clouds in the sky, an aerosol of water droplets, and on this cold winter's day, I breathe out and I can see the water vapour from my lungs. I've come here to meet Martin Chaplin, Emeritus Professor of Applied Chemistry at the South Bank University, a man who spent decades studying the strange properties of water. What, I wonder, does it mean for us?
Well, we have life. I mean,
fairly simple, fairly basic. We're alive because water's
yes,
weird.
But if it wasn't, if the density was different, then the ice would form at the bottom of rivers and stay there all year round, and we wouldn't have any aquatic life at all, and therefore life probably wouldn't have started.
Water is the root of our civilization and how we understand the world, plus how all of life works. That's a long journey to go on.
Alok Jha, a science writer and broadcaster, author of The Water Book, more than 300 pages on the enormous effects of this tiny molecule.
From the very first civilizations in the Middle East to the Roman Empire to Sydney, New York and London, all these places where humans are built around sources of water. And if you don't have a source of water, your city doesn't last very long. It is the bloodstream of our civilization.
What is this place?
This place is it's an old kind of factory building. I'm right down the back here.
My name's Amy Sharrox, I'm an artist.
And
in
this rather cramped little space, you've filled it with boxes and display cabinets and crates with bottles, jars, all filled with water.
Yeah.
What is this?
This is the packed up, wrapped up Museum of Water. In between being shown and put on display to the public, it lives here in my studio.
Let's see if we can struggle past more and more crates here. How many bottles have you got?
I have, I think, 708, but at the moment we're building a Dutch collection, so it's growing.
The place is filled with bottles of water, ornate glass, cheap plastic, some that look like medical sample bottles, and a little whiskey bottle too. Each one comes with a story, and each one comes with a card, a handwritten explanation of where the water came from, or what it means to the person who donated it to Amy's travelling museum.
These have all been given to me by people I've never met before in the most part, and people brought me the most amazing things. This is number 589 in the collection. This is Ada Bell Quick was born in this water.
I have
the toothpaste spit from a Holt family, carefully gathered one evening and one morning. One woman orienteered solo in the wind and rain, because nobody would go with her, to a lake all on her own. She'd never done it before, and she wasn't even sure she could find this lake again, but she'd once been there and had this magic moment of breaking the ice on this lake and jumping in for a freezing cold swim. And it had meant so much to her that she wanted to go back and get some water from that lake as a memory of the magic moment to put in the museum. It just seemed to me, when I started noticing water, how much it was taken for granted. But we've stopped noticing it. So once you start noticing it, you almost can't stop.
In many ways, you could consider water to be very destructive, physically destructive, chemically destructive. Look at the side of that boat there on the Thames. It's starting to rust up. It's eroding those bridge pillars. The water's messing everything up here.
Things are very soluble in water, sometimes called a universal solvent.
You just want to be careful you don't step in that puddle there, actually. Talking of which.
Yeah, well, it's water can be very slippery.
Starting to ice up. It's dangerous stuff to be around.
It is dangerous, but we've learnt to live with it. It's important that we have, for example, erosion, and important that chemical reactions occur. Of course, we learn to live with lots of things. We just live in a dangerous world.
There's something wrong with water. Water's weird.
Well, yeah, it is weird. Water is this substance which we just don't think about at all. And in fact, water is the thing that has the most extreme of properties. Water has carved the Grand Canyon from rock over millions of years. You just need to give it time. There are many other things. Water expands when it freezes, unlike anything else. Really, in the natural world, it's the only substance that when it gets colder, it actually gets bigger, which doesn't make sense. If you were to think about it all the time, it would fill your mind. But it is crucial to every single thing that we do.
Crucial to everything we do, but again, weird. Given the weight of a molecule of H2O, the water that comes out of our taps should really be a gas. Ice should sink, should be denser than the liquid. Why then is water so uniquely strange?
Water is especially sticky. And it has these things called hydrogen bonds. Many compounds have them, but the ones in water are particularly strong. And they're particularly well arranged in order to allow the water to form a really quite extended structure.
I think people will be surprised to hear about the notion of structure in liquid water.
So when we think about the structure of water, imagine it like you're taking a snapshot, and any particular snapshot will have water molecules hydrogen bonded to their surrounding water molecules. But you take that snapshot, and then you take another snapshot a few picoseconds later, and you'll still have the same number of bonds. They won't all be precisely the same. If you overlay the two pictures, some of the bonds would be in some places in the second one that weren't in the first, and the other way around, but the amount of bonding will remain the same, so quite structured.
We have a lot of bottles of religious water. We have water, Zamzam water from the well at Mecca. We have a lot of Catholic wells. We have water from Lourdes and Walsingham and Knock. This was a bottle given to me by Jo Hesketh. It's the tap water from her Auntie Margaret's kitchen. And she said to me, "This is my holy ritual. Sundays round Auntie Margaret's with all the family for tea and cakes. That's my holy water." And I loved that.
For many thousands of years before we understood something of the hydrogen bond that makes water chemically special, people have believed it to be spiritually special. We've worshipped it, used it to purify souls, cleanse us of sin. And we've believed in the power of special waters to heal us. Those ideas remain today at religious shrines, of course, and in some of the outer realms of medicine too.
Homeopathy, which is something I practice and which has a long history of 200 years and is practiced throughout the world, is a highly controversial form of complementary medicine.
Homeopathy, at its core, is the belief that water can somehow hold a memory of a compound that was once dissolved in it, but which has been removed through repeated dilution and shaking. It's a claim that many scientists dismiss completely, but Dr. Peter Fisher is no quack. He's clinical director at the Royal London Hospital for Integrated Medicine and a physician to the Queen.
This is where the idea of memory of water, I don't like the phrase memory of water, but it does have a certain catch to it. Many of the homeopathic medicines used, not all, but many are diluted beyond what we call the Avogadro point, meaning that in theory there is nothing left of the substance whose name appears on the tube. And clearly this is a problem.
So when you talk about the memory of water, and I understand that you don't like the phrase, are you suggesting that in some way the water retains the shape of the molecule that was originally there? Is that your suggestion?
Well, not precisely. I think the other thing we know is that it is not plain water. It is solutes, probably particularly gas. You get nanobubbles of gas. And actually, you might think that, you know, shaking a vial of water is a fairly innocuous thing to do, but it's not. You get extremely high temperatures and high pressures released, very local. The leading hypothesis is that the restructuring occurs around these tiny bubbles, that you get highly organized water around the bubbles, and that in some way carries information.
No, water does not have a memory.
Professor Tom Welton speaks for many scientists who believe that homeopathy simply cannot work, that water, though special, is not magical.
Water is highly structured, and you see the structure. But a fleeting moment later, the structure is there, but is completely different in terms of the detail of which water molecules are where and which ones are bonded to other ones. Water is a highly dynamic system. There is no mechanism by which it can retain a memory.
But it can have a memory of things that has happened to it recently.
Martin Chaplin again.
It can remember, for example, if you've got two glasses of water and you stir one of the glasses of water, you could then detect which glass has been stirred, because there'll be more glass dissolved in one of the glasses, the one you stirred.
And you glass dissolved? It.
Glasses do dissolve in water, yes.
Really?
Yes, well, you can tell this. If you've got old glass in a building, it gradually goes hazy and it's dissolving, but it does dissolve to the extent that you can easily measure. But you can't say that it's going to remember that forever, because once it's in a river, it's mixed up with everything else.
Do you feel under attack? Do you feel that you need to defend yourself in this practice?
Yes, very much so. It is attacked by people who actually don't look at the evidence. They say, well, the evidence must be wrong. We know it cannot possibly work. On the other hand, I'm comforted by the fact that a lot of people use it, that the usage rates throughout the world arising, that it's popping up in all kinds of places where it has no historical links. I'm editor of a journal. You would never guess the most rapid rise in terms of submissions from a country is from Iran. I had no idea there was homeopathy in Iran. So, yes, sometimes I wish I'd never heard of it. Other times, you know, I feel comforted by the fact that this is something that has stood the test of time.
You don't feel too lonely then?
No. No, I'm all right.
These three tiny little sample pots are given to me by the British Antarctic Survey by Dr. Robert Mulvaney, and he collected them in January 2012 as ice from 649 metres down under the ice sheet at Fletcher Promontory in Antarctica. And the water in these bottles is 129,000 years old, so that is before the last ice age. And he said that at that depth, each centimetre is 80 years in the Earth's history. So the sense of a lifetime in a bottle, I think, is an extraordinary thing to come up against.
The academic Shakalsky has been trapped in sea ice for 5 days now. On Friday, the Chinese icebreaker Zhuelong...
Alok Jha came up against the power of frozen water on a trip to the Antarctic in 2013 as the ice closed up around the research ship that he was travelling on, leaving them stranded for weeks.
In Antarctica, and I'm sure in many other parts of the world where they live with ice much more, it's architectural. It is your surroundings. It's not that there's a little bit of ice in amongst everything else. No, you are the little bit of something in amongst the ice, floating around in it. And it controls you and everything around you. I mean, kind of dispiriting and strange. And the strangest thing about it, of course, of the ice landscape, is the lack of smells. And so the only senses you've got are eyesight, and you start to see things. You start to see thousands of colours in the white, and you see lots of different types of ice crystals. And I don't know if these things really exist, but they really did exist when I was looking at them when I was very cold.
The Antarctic is one of the harshest areas on Earth, but our planet is a relatively benign place, mostly warm and wet, and so teeming with life. And as we look for signs of life beyond our world, there is an obvious first step.
Until 10, 20 years ago, the idea that there was water everywhere else in the solar system and, in fact, the galaxy and the universe wasn't that widely known. But actually, it turns out that every single planet on our solar system has water. Even Mercury, which is the closest planet to the sun, has ice caps, solid ice caps. Mars, as of September 2015, has running water. It turns out it's common as muck, basically. And it's crucial in the biology of life because it started the biology of life. If it wasn't for these anomalous behaviour of the way it can move other things around and ratchet them into a place where they start to form lifelike cells, and then those cells become more complex and so on. And water did all of that here. So it makes you think, well, if it does it here, there's no reason scientifically why it couldn't do it elsewhere too.
Perhaps we've always understood that water is special somehow. In many mythologies, it's in the rivers, the lakes, and the sacred springs that the gods and sometimes the monsters reside.
In the sense of ritual, every single one of our religions bathes and anoints with water and refreshes and revitalizes through water. It's in our essence. We know that to be true. We think we've controlled it. We can very quickly be in total crisis from water, and then we become aware of how little we are in control.
I'm an atheist, but if anything were to convince me of the existence of a creator, it would be the weirdness of water.
It makes you think that there's some... And I, by the way, I'm an atheist too, so don't misinterpret what I'm about to say next, which is that it makes you think that there is some design somewhere, because it doesn't make sense that this one very, 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 very simple molecule could have such a large effect on the universe.
Thanks for listening to The Why Factor. If you'd like to hear more episodes, there's a wide range of programmes on our website, from the perils of groupthink to the scourge of suicide, from the world of collectors to the age of consent. Visit bbcworldservice.com/Why Factor.